repentance is to begin to defend the cause of the fatherless. What do we do?
Another level about to happen.
Not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
I mean, people are being evacuated for attics, and areas never flooded before.
Or how could that happen in Boston? How could this happen?
We have to watch what the right hand's doing when they're probably we're trying to be distracted by the left hand. There's one thing our president said. He said that the Middle East needs to be organized.
And I consider it part of my responsibility as president of the United States to fight against negative stereotypes of Islam wherever they appear.
I can promise you one more thing. Even if Israel has to stand alone, Israel will stand.
Nearly 450,000 Islamic terrorists cross into the United States of America.
Yeah, we already know the news. We're trying to change it. The news is if we don't repent, this storm is coming and it's going to bring great devastation. We are going to suffer hugely if we don't turn.
We're being organized according to the Alinsky tactics that were taught by our president for 4 years and practiced in his life, but he taught them for 4 years.
You know, Dr. King was saying from the platform of being a Christian, you know, who I believe would be an apostle.
I have a dream. We hold these truths to be self-evident that all men are created equal.
And I'd like to repent on behalf of the law enforcement.
We receive your repentance in the name of Jesus.
That we can turn back to God. We can say, Lord, here we are. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, it only takes seconds for things to happen that could take decades and generations to get over.
It's going to be a day like no other day. But when all is said and done, God will reclaim Israel and God will pour out his grace and his mercy even upon the United States of America.
God is about to give us mega grace, and the mega grace will produce mega power.
And God spoke to me. He said, not just United States, again, there's going to be another greater movement of God's spirit.
I mean, I believe the best days, you know, for the church is ahead.
But think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world. It's time for us to quit this escapism mentality, and it's time for us to read the word and understand. We need to build for 1,000 years.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few is Steve Kolesheski. We're so excited to be with you today. We're going to be discussing in today's program some of the things that are happening around the world. I don't know if you knew this, but today, 1 in 6 people, Indians living in India, live in slums. That's approximately 65 million people. And it's projected by 2017 that number will swell to 107 million people living in poverty, living in the slums. That's roughly a third of our population in the United States. When we use the term abject poverty in the United States, we really have to question and think about that word. I had to research it myself. The word abject means being most miserable, utterly hopeless. And although we have poverty in the United States, it pales in comparison to what we see on a global scale. You're actually looking probably at some images right now of what people in India are living in. The type of conditions are just awful. And there's something that we can do about it. Today we're looking at so many of the concerns and issues that are facing so many people all around the world. And I want to encourage you today, because you may feel overwhelmed. You may think, well, my goodness, what can I do? Well, what can be done? Understand that the problems of the world today can always be answered in God and in His Word. God has a solution for everything. And you may be feeling, well, what can I do? I'm a Christian, clearly across the earth. I'm only one person. Well, I want to encourage you today. You can do a lot. Today, CBN did a fantastic report on Ann Seculo and her organization and what she is doing. One individual touching the lives of children that are growing up in slums in India. Together, we can do something. Watch this.
Well, the numbers are truly hard to comprehend. 1 in 6 Indians live in a slum. That adds up to roughly 65 million people. And those numbers, they are increasing every day. By 2017, India's slum population is expected to surge to a staggering 104 million. Can anything be done to reverse those numbers? Is there any hope for the people living in terrible slum conditions? Well, our next guest says yes and is trying to bring change one life at a time. Anna Sekulo is founder and executive director of One Life Movement, an organization working in the slums of Mumbai, India. Anna, thanks so much for joining us on the broadcast. Listen, the statistics show that some 8 million children are living in slums in India. Can you paint a picture for us of the day in the life of a slum child?
Sure. Well, I've visited the slums a number of times now. In fact, the first time was 3 years ago, shortly after my wedding. I went to do missionary work with my husband. And we really spent time with the children in the slum in Mumbai. Actually, it's right next to Bollywood. And if you were driving by, you couldn't really see it. It's covered over and surrounded by high-rise complexes. But what we did was we walked in, and at first it was quite a shock. I mean, you can just kind of smell just terrible smells and kids, you know, sitting on the dirt, trying to get water out of the well for their family. And we walked through there and with Pastor Sanjay Solomon, who took us with his wife, and we met the children that live inside the slum. And we couldn't believe the work that they were doing to help these kids inside the slum. They've started a preschool, a learning center, and a computer center. And really what was happening was things were falling apart. I mean, it was a safe place for the kids to go, but it was falling apart. So when we met them, it was really kind of a perfect partnership. And from then, it's been about a year now. It's really, you can really see God's work there now. The kids have started to transform.
And speak to that point, Anna. Your group, One Life Movement, really puts a huge premium on providing education for these children. Tell us about that.
We have a learning center, which is for kids who have already gotten into school, into their first couple years of school. They go from the learning, they go from school back to our learning center, where it's like, it's kind of like being homeschooled, where they can, instead of going home, where they don't really have much of a home to go to, or just playing outside in the street, they can go to our learning center and get positive reinforcement.
You say One Life Movement's philosophy is simple. It only takes one person to change one life. You truly believe that?
Oh, I absolutely believe it, because I see it. I see it happening every day. I'm only one person, and I went over there and I was able to help. And then I see, you know, just one of these kids, who can see the benefit of learning. You can see in turn they're trying to help the younger kids and the younger generations. So every day one person is doing something better and learning something more and trying to help. So it really does, it really is powerful. Just one person is absolutely powerful.
What is your vision for the project and hope for each child that comes to this outreach?
Yeah, well, my hope is that they start to understand that they don't have to live in the slum if they get an education. I hope that they start to see the bigger picture, that they don't have to. A lot of these kids at a young age are providing for their families because their families are sick, and can't work, and they've got problems. My hope is that these kids are able to experience childhood, but also learn so that they can use this education as a tool to get out one day, get out of the slums, whether it's going to a private school, which we're working on a program right now where we're giving scholarships to kids who are excelling. So I think if we continue to do this, we can work on getting each one of these kids out of the slum one at a time. And right now, we started with 25 kids, just 25 kids a year ago. And then we grew to 50 kids, and now we have 75 kids who are coming to our facilities right there in the Bandra West slums in Mumbai.
And talk about, real quickly, we're running out of time here, talk about the collaboration that you have with churches and civic groups within the slums.
Sure. We are working, actually, with a pastor, Sanjay Solomon, and his wife, Irvashi. He's been there for a long time. He's been there with his wife, and he's had this vision that they're going to be able to help these kids lead a better life. We're finding out that with encouragement and with biblical principles and guidance, they are becoming, you can really see God's work there. These kids are really starting to shine, and things are starting to really transform. It's absolutely amazing to see.
Yeah, I should let our viewers know that it is because of the good work that you are doing in the slums that I agreed to volunteer as a board member on this group. Anna Sekulow, thank you so much for all the work that you are doing among the slum kids of India. Listen, check out One Life Movement on Facebook, as well as their website, onelifemovement.org. Anna, thank you so much for joining us on the broadcast.
Thank you, George.
Isn't that awesome? Proverbs 19:17 tells us, he who gives to the poor lends to God. One life, we can make a difference. Look at those children. They're in India, and we can affect them right here in the United States. But it starts with us having a heart of gratitude for what God has already done in our own lives. When we experience that gratitude and that sense of appreciation, it causes us to want to say, Lord, I want to give. I want to do something for you. I want to help the those that are fortunate than I am. When we get back from this break, we're going to talk more about the Great Commission and our global mission. More when we see you back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back. Is sharing your faith in the workplace lawful? This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
I am a manager at a grocery store, and I want to know if I can witness to employees. I was told by our state labor department that I cannot. I want to know if I can.
Well, that's a very good question, and the issue is, when you're doing that, it's a private place of employment, so the rules are really subject to the employer, what their rules and regulations and policies are. It's not so much a question of state law. Now, they're saying to you, you cannot consider religion with regard to hiring, firing, or demotion or promotions. That is not a factor that can be considered. So that's probably what they're talking about. I don't think it's so much that whether you can have a conversation with the employer, that's probably no problem. The state issue is there discrimination on the hiring practices of the employer? That's the issue that they're looking at.
Find out more at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
We were just talking about India and what is happening there in the slums. 65 million people, one in six people in India live in the slums. And it's projected by 2017, that's not far off now, that number is going to swell to 107 million people. And I think about how blessed we've been in the United States. I mean, how we have so many resources available to us. And as believers, as Christians, what we need to do to respond to the poverty around the world, and what we can do with the gospel, with the good news. Mm-hmm. And I think about Matthew 28:19. It's the Great Commission. And this is what Jesus tells us to do. He says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. We have a commission, not a suggestion. And joining me today is Steve Kolesheski. And Steve, this is not a suggestion. Yeah. Jesus told us to go and make disciples. And I think the hindrance there, because I have a question, is it possible, can it be true that we can get so caught up in our own personal relationships with God
that we forget about the global implications of the Great Commission.
Absolutely. And that, what you just said before, as far as what Jesus says, is make disciples of all nations. Mm-hmm. So often we leave that significant word of all out of the scenario. And just like what you're saying, we get caught up in where we are now and totally losing out the reality of the fact that there's so much outside of our present reality, our street, our neighborhood, our zip code, our state, our county. And it's like being able to see that there is a world outside of our existence, a world outside of what we presently know.
Yeah. And it causes me really to think, you know, can we have a personal, what's the depth of our personal relationship with God? We've really got to start asking these questions, because the book of Proverbs tells us that a wise man, a wise woman gives thought to their ways. And so we need to begin to start evaluating and really trying to get some understanding as to why we do the things that we do. Mm-hmm. Not just that we do things, but what was behind that and why didn't I why did I do that? And so how can we really have a personal, abiding, a personal relationship with God and not truly care to fulfill the Great Commission or not fully be engaged with the understanding of our responsibility before God and before our fellow brothers and sisters all around the world?
Right.
When I think about all the blessings that we have here in the United States, because I think that's the biggest problem. We get so caught up in living in the West and being part of, you know, America and our citizenship here, that we fail to recognize the great blessing that we have. And it doesn't it doesn't cross our mind that there's children living in slums, not just in India, but in the Philippines and parts of Africa and other parts of Asia. People are suffering on a daily basis. I mean, not too long ago on this program, we were talking about how people in Cuba live on $30 a month, a dollar a day. That's what they live on, a dollar a day. And our coffee costs more than that. And so what is our responsibility, Great Commission? What's our responsibility before God? When you think about it, we've been blessed in this nation with an enormous amount of wealth.
Mm-hmm.
All the billionaires, they're mainly concentrated in the United States. Surely there's billionaires in other parts of the world, but by far the greatest amount of billionaires are in the United States.
Yeah.
When you think about intelligence and being able to have access to educational resources, the United States is at the top.
Mm-hmm.
When you think about innovation, what country produces more products and has more companies than the United States? Apple, the people that make the iPhone, the iPad, their company is reported to be worth more than Russia's stock exchange.
Yeah.
One company. And you think about the innovation that's available today with technology, with the internet. It used to be, you know, not too long ago that if every house in America had a television, you were blessed. Well, not only do we have every home in America probably has a television, they have four or five TVs. And they not only have one computer, they have several computers and iPads and all these different things that now make connectivity and sharing those resources so much easier.
Yeah. Well, you don't even have to go into the awareness of innovation. When you walk through a culture, a typical neighborhood in America, the simple things of drywall, air conditioning, a roof, carpet.
Yeah.
When I was in the military, I served two deployments in Iraq, and I was in Fallujah. And I've literally walked in homes that are made of mud. I've literally walked in homes that the roof is straw. And during the summer months, when it gets so hot, it gets so humid, it's not out of the ordinary to drive through a neighborhood, to walk on a patrol in a neighborhood, and see families sleeping in every single lawn because they're not going to sleep inside.
Wow. It's too hot.
Because it's so hot, because they don't have air conditioning. They don't have heating. They don't have ventilation.
Wow.
They've got wind. And it's like we're looking at, I have an iPod. I have a Dell or new computer, and it's like you have a home.
Yeah.
You have a mortgage.
Yeah.
And it's like the best way that I can look at it is that we're, in his most simplest of terms, we're saying, I'm at an 8, or I'm really looking for that moment when I'm going to be at a 9, and we're seeing that one transition of one movement forward, but all the while we're totally losing out on so many people in the world are living at one or less than that.
The question is, what are we going to do?
Exactly.
What are we going to do? We talked about exactly what you're saying. We talked about the innovation, the creativity.
Mm-hmm.
We live in America. We have a constitution that affords us freedom to do basically almost anything we want to do, as long as we're not breaking laws and hurting other people.
Right.
But we have the ability to use our wealth to do anything. And I think that a lot of times Christians, not just Americans, Christians, we see these blessings as a right in America and not as a privilege.
Mm-hmm.
We don't really step back to evaluate, like, I did absolutely nothing to be born here in America. I did nothing to enjoy these privileges, to live in a country that I can order food and, you know, just do anything that I want, to have all these resources and luxuries available to me. And I think about, what are we going to do with that? Are we really seeing ourselves as global Christians? Because the Great Commission is for every nation. The Great Commission is for us to be able to reach out to all people groups with the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ. And I think that we've valued our American citizenship far greater than our heavenly citizenship. Mm-hmm. If we claim any citizenship, it's the citizenship of heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And we understand that what the Bible says is true, that life is but a vapor. We're here just for a moment, and then we're gone. We're going to be in eternity with the Lord. And the question is going to be, like, what did you do? What did you do with that vapor? What did you do with that moment? And with all the blessings and all the resources that were afforded to you, did you maximize them to share the gospel and the hope of Jesus Christ with the needy of the world?
You know, I think about just in the conversations that we've had about the oppression in so many of the nations against someone who is just carrying a Bible or saying the name of Jesus. And I think about the freedoms of exactly what you're saying, that we can talk about Jesus Christ. We can carry the Bible. We can worship freely. We can gather. We can pray in the name of Jesus. And not only do we have that ability, but we have the resources to share that with other nations outside of the borders of this nation. And it's like, it goes right back to what Jesus said, all nations, the world.
Yeah. So many times we get stuck on the trappings of wealth and the things that are available to us.
Mm-hmm.
I've hear people say, well, you know, I would give more if I had more. I would give more if I have more of those resources. Well, you have a lot of resources. You have tons of them, more than the great majority of the world. In fact, according to USA Today, I'm going to share with you how much money is spent on soda and candy and some of the delicious snacks that we eat from. They say that most of these convenience stores, if you look at them, when you go get your gasoline, for instance, for your automobile, for your car, if you notice that all these Circle K's and 7-Elevens and all these different little stores that we go into, they're filled with candy. And they primarily make billions of dollars. It's reported that Americans alone on Halloween, one day, spent $2.8 billion. That's with a B, billion dollars, just on candy. And that on fast food is a $117 billion industry. Think about it. And they say nearly half of all Americans drink soda daily. I mean, what if we just gave up soda for, gave up soda for a month? What if we just didn't buy candy at all and used those resources to fund the gospel and to spread those resources all over the world? Listen, we have great opportunities. Instead of wasting some of these resources on indulgences, we should be looking at, wow, how can I be challenged in this area? One of the things that I've noticed, even in my own life, is that if we don't set provision, if you don't plan for it, if you don't move with intentionality that this is what, you know, I'm going to do, if you don't prepare for it, it's just not going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to start preparing and saying, Lord, how would you direct me? And it always goes back to, having that sense of gratitude, what the Lord's blessed you with. Because I think that the other thing that comes into place here, Steve, is that too many of us take credit for the resources and the finances and the things that we have. We take credit, not crediting the Lord. I mean, the careers, the homes, the education, all the different things that run through our hands that God allows us to possess as entrustments, we really need to start looking at them as, hey, they all belong to the Lord, and we're just managing them for His use, for His glory. How can God get glory out of this? When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about some of these things and just how we can be challenged to say, Lord, we want to participate in the Great Commission. We want to use the resources that you've blessed us with in this nation and use it to the furtherance of your kingdom and to reach all of these just people all over the world, our brothers and sisters mm-hmm. that need help. We can do it, and I know you can do it too. More when we get right back from this break.
Well, we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience and our viewers. Don't forget, we're on the Gulf Coast every single day from Destin, the beautiful sandy beaches of Destin, Florida, all the way to the beautiful historical parts of Mississippi. And over 1.4 million footprint out there. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Just the Gulf Coast, Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So we want to be able to be there with you each day, bringing some light to this interesting times. And we're getting some great feedback from you, and we so love to hear from you. Remember our Facebook, and you can communicate to us. We'd love to receive messages from you and letters, actually positive messages.
Yeah.
Anything negative, just send it to Pat. He's good. He can handle that kind of stuff. Go to VFNTV. Go to VFNTV.com. This is VFN Radio. You're listening to this. Go to VFNTV.com and go to VFNTV in your menu, and you'll see a prophetic teaching about this generation. It's called This Generation. And it's time for us to wake up and respond. And it's going to encourage you, because it's going to give you a perspective that if not, the things that we won't give up now, God will have taken away from us.
Mm-hmm.
He'll look, and there's raiders coming in as we speak, trying to raid the coffers, the government, the taxes, the freedoms, the Constitution, all these different things. But understand that God is allowing that. He's not doing it. He's allowing it to take place. It's his permissive will because of the choices that we've made, and he's intentionally allowing it. It's intentional. There's always somebody that wants to raid you,
mm-hmm.
but he's keeping them back. And then, you know, if we don't respond, it just escalates and gets worse in regards to that. Even being sold as a slave to your enemy. You know, slavery didn't start in America. Slavery's been around since day one. Even mm-hmm. Jesus said, you know, as Christians, you know, slaves obey your masters as unto right. the Lord. If you can get your freedom, get your freedom. So in the context of that, it was just an everyday conversation then. Mm-hmm. I don't want to be sold to my enemy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I don't want to be sold to my enemy. But I can't be in rebellion to God and think that the end's going to be good. You know, and it may happen on an individual basis. You got to listen to this. Listen to it. It's called This Generation. And what it is that you have a pagan generation. But it's not unusual for a generation who has not yet received or didn't receive the gospel being transferred to their generation to be paganistic. But there's hope. There is hope. And God has a way to do that. Go to VFNTV.com and choose VFNTV on the menu and look for This Generation and begin to listen to it now and share it with your friends. It's a prophetic word for this day and this time.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Well, according to USA Today, $2.7 billion was spent on candy for Halloween, $2.7 billion, and $117 billion is spent every year in the fast food industry. And we think about, you know, what if we took these resources instead mm-hmm. of just, you know, throwing them away, if you will, right? Because it's a momentary thing, and you're right. just eating a candy or some fast food, and it's done, right? I need to lay off of that some more, right? But we start planning just those resources alone into furthering the gospel, you know, and helping the poor and those that are least fortunate. And it causes me to think, you know, we need to evaluate, like, are we living in America for such a time as this?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, what if America was no longer the prosperous nation that it is today? I mean, what if we lost all of those blessings? What if we lost those freedoms? Imagine if America today didn't exist any longer the way we're enjoying it now. Would we look back and say, wow, what did we do? Like, remember that time. Remember those freedoms. Remember the abundance that we had. We didn't think twice before we bought a $5 coffee or whatever it is that we did. You know, we didn't even think twice about that. And now it's nowhere near where it used to be. And let me tell you, unless we repent, that's exactly where we're headed. It's exactly where we're headed. But I also think about Queen Esther. You know, when Queen Esther went into the palace and she was being, you know, interviewed, if you will, to be, you know, to be selected if she's going to be a queen, and she went through a period of time of wonderful living. I mean, you think about it. She was soaking in perfume.
Mm-hmm.
She had the choices of foods. We can't even say that she lived in the top 1% of the people, probably top half of 1% of the entire population. She had everything at her disposal, everything. And then when she became queen, you could imagine the luxuries and the wealth and the servants that she had. And at any moment, Esther really could have got caught up in the blessing, if you will. If any time she could have got lost in the sauce, right? She could have got so overwhelmed with the life of leisure and of pleasure and of fortune and of comfort and of convenience and of ease. At any moment, that could have happened to her. But she didn't. And I think about what her uncle told her. Maybe the spirit of Mordecai is still here today, grabbing the shirts, you know, if you will. And he didn't do this, but I'm just saying he just looked directly into her eye and said, listen, maybe you've, for such a time as this, mm-hmm. maybe you're in this position for such a time as this. And it was because Esther, she didn't get caught up. She didn't get distracted. She understood that she was in a place of privilege. She understood that she had access to power, and that for this moment, she didn't arrive there because of her great looks, and she didn't arrive there because she was just so amazing. She arrived there. She had to come to the realization that she arrived there because God placed her there, mm-hmm. and she declared a fast. And you know what? Because she was able to approach the king, and she even was willing to risk her life to do that. She was willing to risk her life. God spared the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about our founding fathers. I mean, they've pledged their lives, their fortune, their sacred honor. They didn't even know if America was going to work out, but they put when they signed the Declaration of Independence, 27 reasons to break free from England, it was said that John Hancock put his signature so big that the king could read his signature without reading glasses. He wanted him to know. And if this experiment didn't work out, it was over for them.
Mm-hmm.
They were done. They were finished. And I just feel that same kind of call reaching out to us today, Steve, saying, America, Esther, what are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
American Christians, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You're living in the lap of luxury. What are you going to do for those that are least fortunate? What are you going to do to reach them with the gospel? What are you going to do to sow financially into the lives of those that are suffering just to live? You know, I think about going through a hurricane here on the Gulf Coast. And I remember, Steve, that there was a period of time we didn't have electricity for 10 days. And I was so amazed to go through that experience to find out
mm-hmm.
how much energy we were, you know, giving and just putting out just to be able to take care of simple everyday necessities. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, we got to cook something. You know what I mean? You got to get mm-hmm. the water and I remember telling my wife, I got to go get some information. Cell phone's not working. Nothing's working. I will see you when I see you sometime. But
all
these different things that maybe we took for granted when we had electricity, just by not having electricity, how much our life was inconvenienced and made me think, wow, what blessing did we have? Mm-hmm. What amazing fortunes we have. And I guess what we're trying to do today is to help all of us avoid tomorrow's regrets today. Regret is such a horrible word. You don't want to look at the end of your life. You certainly don't want to be standing in heaven and wonder, could I have done more? Mm-hmm. Could I have prayed more? Could I have given more? What did I live my life? And I think many times, even if we even make it to heaven, and the question is, you know, will we be there? And you can avoid those regrets by saying, you know what, I'm going to do something different with my life. I'm going to recognize that God's blessed me to live in the most blessed land in the entire world. He's given me freedoms, given me luxuries, And I want to give God my whole life. And I want to see myself today as a global Christian, intergalactical, if that's okay. I don't even know if that's correct. But my citizenship is in heaven.
Yeah.
And I just happen to live in America. And I want to do whatever I can do. I mean, we talked about how and with one hope?
One life.
One life. Just one person, Steve. Yeah. One person began saying, listen, she went on a trip with her husband. She was impacted in India and came back and said, I've got to do something about this. And she started this organization and started helping, you know, 25 children, 50 children, 75 children. You say, well, that's not much. Well, it's a lot to the 75 children.
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot to those that didn't eat. You know, we talk about how young people and children say, well, you know, I haven't had anything to eat. And it's like, well, you didn't have any fast food or you didn't have any, you know, snacks or what? Oh, there's plenty to eat. Yeah. You know, you just didn't get your cookies and your whatever you wanted. And I think a lot of times we view that today. I want to encourage you, listen, we can make this change. We can take care of the least of these among us. And we need to position ourselves and position everything about ourselves, our finances, our lives. Mm. Are we being good stewards of what God has entrusted to us to be able to reach the multitude for the Lord? We're only here but a vapor. And once we're gone, woulda, shoulda, coulda, but if we didn't, we didn't. We can avoid that today, and we can give our very best to advancing God's kingdom for his glory. The goal is simple: heaven full, hell empty. Mm. And I'll tell you what, God will reward you for what you've done to the least of these. I mean, the Bible is clear. Those who give to the poor are actually lending to God, and that is a tremendous blessing. Before we go to break, though, I do want to talk about a prayer alert that Cindy Jacobs made available on her website. This prayer alert is just for us as the body of Christ, as Christians, to be vigilant and understand that, listen, victories that are won in the natural really are always won in the supernatural, that we have a way that we can pray, we can communicate to God, we can, have God partner with us, and we could partner with God to stop some of the bad things that are trying to happen right now in our country and other parts of the world. But this dream was given to a woman by the name of Melissa Haskins, who, my understanding, has dreamt and had prophetic encounters about several major world events that have occurred. She saw those in advance, and they actually happened as she saw them. And so Cindy Jacobs wanted to send out this prayer alert just moments ago, really, to alert intercessors, the body of Christ, Christians, to pray and to seek God on behalf of this. And I'm going to read just kind of a portion of this dream, a little bit of this note, so that we can have some sort of context for this and we can know how to pray. But Melissa writes that Cindy Jacobs had shared many words compelling the body of Christ to pray for the naval yards in D.C., the Naval Academy, and other naval bases throughout the nation and the world. And she had this dream, a warning dream, she felt, about D.C. and America. And in this dream, she said, I dreamt of a man who came to me at a naval commuter ferry train, a metro base on the water near Washington, D.C. He was handsome with a beard, but casually dressed. And he was saying to me, do you come to D.C. often? And I replied, when God takes me there. He said, me too. Then he said, it's so easy to just touch something casually until we realize it's nuclear. And in an instant, everything has gone nuclear. He pointed to an expensive Navy ship, and he gestured, don't touch it. Nuclear. Then I saw a large locust-shaped boat, silver, shiny, and chrome, pull up to the harbor, and it was a luxury harbor cruise boat. People were partying on it and having fine dinners. And I saw an African-American man and a woman and knew he was going to propose to her. She was wearing a red dress. but the dress itself was shaped like a locust, and I felt a warning in my spirit. Then I saw something strange, something weird of an aircraft fly low overhead, and the same man remarked to me saying, "We are standing here in time to see this." And it's interesting that she says that she saw this fairy type of boat in the waters, because just moments ago, I think today, the president just signed an agreement that would allow licenses for ferry boats to cross to Cuba and back. And so it's just kind of interesting. But, you know, think about that. Many times we're looking for an attack to come, you know, in different places, and we have the government working very hard to protect us. But who would think that maybe a nuclear capability would be on some sort of passenger cruise ship, if you will? Mm-hmm. And she gives some prayer points that we want to pray about, one of which is pray for nuclear escalations to be restrained. I mean, right now we're in the context of being able to, in June, I mean, solidify, they're looking to have this deal with Iran all finished and done, which would basically give them access, if you will, to enrich uranium at a more rapid pace than really many people would like, including Israel, because they could be very quick to a breakout bomb. And why that's important is because Iran has not been shy about their hatred towards Israel and their plans for annihilation. I mean, they're not holding it back. They've said it publicly many times. And so that's a great concern. So we definitely want to pray about that. Not to mention that North Korea has nuclear weapons, and it's a volatile situation. We really, I mean, you could be on the precipice of a third war that could start just in a matter of time. And I think about, when in reference to this dream, John Paul Jackson's prophetic headlines, where he saw, he was getting these newspapers that were flying in kind of in circles, if you will, and they were lifted up in front of him. And one of the headlines that he read that the Lord showed him in this encounter said, "Where was the Navy?" Mm-hmm. And so we want to pray for our Navy, for our brave men and women that serve in our military to protect us. And we want to pray against any kind of nuclear threat on American soil and Israel. And we want to talk more about this when we get back from this break.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
So that means that if you can light a fire, if you can...
Yep.
Well, I guess everybody but Pastor Steve, because I remember him trying to start a fire. he's a Marine. Now, Steve's a Marine now. You got to hear this. Now, he's two tours of duty, trained on Paris Island. And so we're out there. We're taking the young boys camping, doing the next step out back.
Right, hoorah.
Yeah, yeah. And and so he brings out all of his fire starting gear, you know, and it was like stones.
Like
and
two sticks.
Two sticks and like some, like, cotton looking stuff or something. And so he begins the work, you know, he's just rubbing stuff and, you know, and shaking stuff and focused. I mean, he's intense. Very. He's focused on this thing. And of course, we're camping, having a good time. We're watching the sun go down, come up. And now we're just like, you know, he's like, "We're going to start this fire." You know,
it's
like,
with the magnifying glass and everything to try to get the rays.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he's just rubbing stuff and we're just watching, you know. And finally, he takes a break. I think it's about maybe 8 hours into it or something. And this young 17-year-old kid walks up, dumps gas on the wood, throws a match, and walks off.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. We're talking about this dream that was given to Melissa Haskins regarding nuclear threat. Now, don't forget that you can sign up to the Torch newsletter simply by going to VFNTV.com. It's a great way for you to stay up to date. This newsletter comes out every single week with the best of the best of VFNTV. You don't want to miss it. Go straight into your inbox. Again, go to VFNTV.com and sign up for the Torch newsletter today. But we're talking about this dream given to Melissa Haskins about a potential nuclear threat in D.C. Harbor.
Yeah.
That it was a ship and potentially could be like a cruise line.
Yeah.
And that we need to pray about that. And one of the prayer points that Cindy Jacobs Ministries is putting out is to pray for the restraint of this nuclear, of development, to halt it, that we don't have a kind of this race here. Because this is the deal. If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, many people are reporting and suggesting that that's going to spark a nuclear arms race in the Middle East. And so you'll have many of those countries. It could be Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Then becoming them Yemen. Nuclear themselves.
Yeah, sure. Egypt.
Yeah.
Lebanon. Do we really want Lebanon, Egypt, Yemen to have nuclear weapons?
Mm-hmm.
It would be very, very serious situation. And so we want to pray against that. The other thing that I thought was pretty interesting was in regards to no casual touch. She was told in the dream, don't touch things casually. And the warning here is that not to touch the things casually or situations that can become nuclear conflicts, to exercise extreme discretion and wisdom, and not to flippantly go around touching things with your mouth or hands or what have you that can automatically begin to start blowing up. And we need great humility and that dependency upon the Lord for wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of the things that we need to be touching and addressing, and the things that we need to refrain about, but we really need to have that abiding relationship with God that helps us to hear what He is saying, and for us to speak what He's saying and not to speak what He's not saying, and we just got to tune our ears and be very dependent upon Him and His direction. The other thing that she was talking about, Steve, was pray that no devouring force gains access through our gates.
Mm-hmm. When I think about that, like what you're just saying before, as far as not to touch anything casually, oftentimes I've brought up trying to share with others what's going on in the international community and the fact that we're at the negotiating table with Iran, and they think of, oh, it's just another negotiation. It's just something else. It's another, political situation. It's just like, that's not casual. This is in regards to Israel. This is in regards to America and Iran. And when you think about those basic principles, and it's just like, that is something to just seek the face of God and fall on our faces and say, dear God, this is not a good situation. Mm-hmm. Like, that's not a casual moment. And to me, it's just like, that is just comes so much as a highlight when you say how many times that we've looked at that situation casually.
Yeah. So true. As she says here that we need to pray that no devouring force gains access through our gates. I mean, we've prayed much, we've warned much about the borders and how so many people have crossed these borders, OTMs, other than Mexicans. In fact, Kamal Saleem with Coon Ministries reports that over 450,000, I believe, terrorists, jihadists, are actually in the country today. I mean, we saw what happened just a couple of days ago in Garland, Texas, where ISIS is taking responsibility for the first attack on U.S. soil. And so we need to be vigilant and prayerful and sound the alarm, if you will, not in fear, but understand that in great humility, we can actually see God for this in prayer, and God will give us strategy. He'll give us wisdom. Mm-hmm. He'll give us insight of what we need to do and how we could prevent tragedy from coming on our shores and hurting others. But in particular, this had to do with the ship. And this is what Cindy writes. She says, Melissa saw the ship in her dream as a harbor cruiser in the natural realm, but a locust in the spirit. A locust represents a devourer force, perhaps disguised as a wealthy yacht, somehow gained access into Washington, D.C. Harbor. And so we want to pray no access.
Yeah, absolutely.
No access and no destruction. But we're seeing these multi, dimensional front attacks, because we talked about how the destroyer, if you will, destroying spirit that Rick Joyner was talking about in reference to the dream that he had where people were coming through the borders, southwest borders, and were doing horrific things. And to people that ISIS would say that, wow.
That's merciful.
They would consider the beheading merciful.
Yeah.
And so, again, not to promote fear and anything like that, but just so that we can be aware and pray and ask God to intervene. And then, of course, she mentions in this prayer alert that we need to pray for God's intervention regarding the Iranian deal. And that is so, so important because, listen, we are just days, literally days away from the finalizing of what appears to be a very, very bad deal, not only for the apple of God's eye, Israel, but really for us, America, and really the rest of the world. No one benefits if Iran has a nuclear weapon. And this plan allegedly, reportedly, is going to allow them to enrich this uranium without any kind of checks and balances and would allow them, I mean, they say that they're in place, but, you know, you have to be able to allow inspectors. I mean, they had these checks and balances for Saddam Hussein, and it was reported that these you know, they would kick the inspectors out, they were hiding things, they were burying weapons. And so we want to make sure that this deal doesn't actually happen. I mean, my understanding is that Congress still has to approve this, and there's a lot of fine details that have to occur, but this agenda has been progressively moving forward, and we want to pray. Also, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's in the beginning stages right here, or actually final stages of solidifying and unifying his government. And so we are on a timeline here that is really important that we pray, considering this is a Shemitah year, and this is, we're approaching in September, the fourth of the last of the four blood moons. So there's a convergence all occurring. I want to pray for you. We want to pray for you right now, and we want to pray against this nuclear threat and for the church to awaken and fulfill the Great Commission. Father, we just pray right now with our audience that this nuclear threat, Lord, would just go away in the name of Jesus, that there will be no attack, there will be nothing happening in our harbor, that you would touch our Navy and our military, God, give them wisdom, let them unfoil any plot, any attack, any strategy to do us harm. And Father, we pray for your awakened church, Lord, to fulfill the Great Commission and to impact the nations of the world with the hope of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com. On your mobile applications, you can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
You know, there's nothing like, you know, finding out about, you know, that Jesus wants a personal relationship with you. You know, John, how people say, do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? You know, that's what people go, yes. And then the political correct answer, another religiously correct answer.
I go to church.
I go to church. And so, but the thing is about it is that, you know, it's such a common semantic. It's a common way of vocabulary of religious. It's like the religious jargon of the day. But, you know, there is such a thing as a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, that he's the lover of your soul, and that, you know, he compares himself to the bridegroom, and we're the bride, and this intimacy, and he's preparing. I mean, you know, he wants to hang out with us because he loves you. He wants to hang out with you. I mean, and he wants you to want to hang out with him.
Right.
And we call, you know, it's abiding. I mean, think about it. You know, he talks about it in John chapter 15. You know, he just says that, he says, remain or abide in me. I think it's John 15:4. He says, abide in me or remain in me, and I will abide in you or remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must abide in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me or remain in me. And so, you know, this, sometimes we put the cart before the horse, and we're sitting here trying to do all this stuff for Jesus. And, you know, it's like, dude, it's a byproduct of a personal relationship with him.
That's right.
You know
That's
what I'm right. saying? It's overflow. Go ahead.
You know, Brother Greg, you know, a lot of times, too, that you ask, you know, a believer or a Christian these days, you know, why do you read the Bible? And sometimes the pat answer is just, I guess this is what I'm supposed to do. You know, I just right. got to do this chore, all right?
Two
and,
chapters a day.
Right.
Come heck or high water, two chapters a day.
And abiding is not something that we have to do. It's something that we get to do. Mm-hmm. And you know, oftentimes people think that, you know, it's only the pastor or the minister that can hear God's voice. But, you know, John 10, you know, it's my sheep know my voice. And that's right. an inheritance for all believers. And so every believer should be encouraged, you know, abiding, spending time and hearing his voice. And
when you think about it, I mean, it's just, you know, once you break the mindset and you realize that Jesus wants to talk to you. I mean, you got all these books that have been printed in the world, but the difference in the Bible is the fact that it's a living word, that mm-hmm. it comes with the author, and sure. that God explains it to you, and he speaks to you from the word, you know, and basically it's just that, you know, people kind of know that they need to do this, and the enemy's kind of complicated it, you know what I'm saying? And it just... You know, people want to do, they just need a simple plan to do that. And, you know, we put together a simple plan for, you know, that we personally do ourselves. You know, we walk out this plan and we're seeing children, you know, walk in this plan. And when these children speak about what God is, how they're encountering God and what he's saying, adults lean forward and listen to them on VFN TV. Did you know, remember how that happens? Like they begin to talk and everybody like, I want to be the Bible man, you know, out of Texas. And everybody leans forward. Why? Because we know that God speaks to his people. Well, if that's you, if you're tired of religion and you're ready to walk with God, and God's obviously ready to walk with you, you know, he says, you can just put all the stuff aside that you've been trying to do and begin to abide with him. He says, apart from abiding in me, you can do nothing. So, you know, with that, you can actually go to iabide.org. Just go there today, iabide.org. You know, read over a little bit, and if you want to be able to request that plan, you could just request the plan. It'll be sent to you immediately, John. Immediately.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, there's a video there. There's some explanation, a whole, everything you need to be able just to get started. Real simple, simple plan that we're seeing children, 8-year-olds, that are walking with God and hearing from God and just so excited because when you start listening, I mean, what happens when somebody listens to you, you continue to talk, right?
That's right.
But if people stop listening, you stop talking, right? Mm. And quite often is, if you want to hear God talk to you, you got to start listening to him. And you'll find out he wants to hear what you're saying, but you have to want to hear what he's saying.
That's right.
And the definition of abide, everything you need is there, iabide.org. Request that simple plan today at iabide.org.